It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This year, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported e-cigarette use tripled among middle and high school students in 1 year. Now, analysis led by the University of Pittsburgh Center for Research on Media, Technology, and Health and the Dartmouth Hitchcock Norris Cotton Center finds e-cigarettes are serving as a gateway to smoking for young teens and adults. The study, funded by the National Cancer Institute, is the first to find a potential causal relationship between e-cigarettes and traditional cigarettes in a national sample of youth and adults. Joining us to discuss these findings is Dr. Brian Primack. He's Associate Professor of Medicine and Pediatrics and Director of the Program for Research on Media and Health at Pitt. Dr. Brian Primack, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much, Paul. It's great to be here.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Have you started smoking traditional cigarettes after first trying e-cigarettes? Do you know someone who has? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Brian, why do e-cigarettes appear to lead teens to smoke traditional cigarettes?
Well,
aren't they supposed to be different?
They are supposed to be different, and there are a few potential reasons for this transition. One is biochemical. We know that e-cigarettes deliver nicotine, but they deliver that nicotine more slowly than traditional cigarettes. So in a way, they're sort of a perfect starter cigarette. If someone starts off with an e-cigarette, they become accustomed to the nicotine, and then when they need a little bit more, they might transition to regular cigarettes.
So the e-cigarette is a lower nicotine version of a regular cigarette.
Exactly. And then in addition with that biochemical theory, there are also social differences. So for example, you may start using e-cigarettes because your friends do it or because you like the taste, but then later on the pressures become more, hey, you should really smoke a real cigarette. It's kind of analogous to kids using alcohol first as wine coolers. They don't start off with Jaeger bombs and shots of Jack Daniels. But then they don't keep on those wine coolers forever, right? Eventually, they're going to transition to harder stuff.
So there are enough properties in these e-cigarettes. There's enough of the same materials in regular cigarettes to make you want to crave potentially something more.
Exactly. So those materials, as you call them, are there. But then in addition, there are all of the behavioral cues. I mean, these things are really designed to mimic the behaviors and the sensations of cigarette smoking. So if someone starts using one of these, it very well might make that person more accustomed to those behaviors and very much prepare them for cigarette smoking. It's a much easier transition at that point.
So oddly, e-cigarettes have been marketed as a smoking deterrent, but is that false advertising?
Well, it is a very complex issue, and I don't want to minimize that because there really are theoretical benefits for certain individuals. And I certainly, as a clinician, I have patients who have had some benefit, who have been able to say, Doc, I was never able to stop smoking with the patch or with gum, but this has helped me cut down. Unfortunately, though, most of those people then go on to either go back to regular cigarettes or they just remain dual users. And what it ends up doing is just keeping them addicted to nicotine. So that transition that is very nice in theory doesn't really seem to happen in reality. But in addition to that, we have all these potential unintended consequences, for example, on youth. So that's why, yes, there is a potential place for them. However, we're learning a lot more about the downside with research these days.
Is there a difference between when an adult smokes an e-cigarette, an adult smoking an e-cigarette and a young person, someone under 18, for example, starting out smoking e-cigarettes? Is the effect on a younger person more profound than the effect that it might have on an adult?
It probably is more profound, but there does seem to be an effect in both groups. Our study involved a national sample of people ages 16 to 26. And so there were some youth and some older people, and the effect was basically the same. The people who had used a little bit of e-cigarettes, even when they swore they were never going to smoke regular cigarettes, 38% of them went on within a year to smoke regular cigarettes. However, theoretically, there should be a stronger effect for young people because their brains are still developing. And because when there is a lot of plasticity of the brain in that particular way, when you have an earlier exposure, it's more likely to change the biochemistry.
So let's just look at e-cigarettes then. Is there enough nicotine in an e-cigarette for a person to develop an addiction to nicotine?
There certainly is. It's important to say that they come in various strengths of nicotine. You can buy some that are over the counter or at a gas station or something like that, and you don't really necessarily know how much nicotine is in there. But you can also go online and you can buy different strengths of nicotine. Either way, though, there certainly is enough to cause addiction.
So there's enough of the properties that we associate with regular cigarettes in an e-cigarette to create health risks. So now the question is, what are the health risks associated with e-cigarettes?
Well, the theory is that there are some, but that they are less than a regular cigarette. Hence the whole idea that they would be good for quote-unquote harm reduction. It's somewhat analogous to the fact that we have methadone clinics. When someone is addicted to heroin, we tell them, you know what I'm going to do is instead I'll give you the same opiate, but I'll give it to you in a pill that's less dangerous, that doesn't come along with a lot of these side effects, like sticking something in your arm, potentially getting an infection from that, potentially getting HIV or hepatitis from that, etc. So in this case, we know that those people are still getting nicotine, but they don't seem to be getting as much of other toxins. Now, then the question becomes, you know, to sort of come back to more specifically what you were asking, how much less toxins are they getting? And the studies are really sort of all over the place. There was a study that showed that the amount of formaldehyde you get from an e-cigarette is about the same as a regular cigarette. But then there was another study that said it was a tenth. So what is the truth? Well, the reason we have all these questions is because they're not standardized implements. Because there isn't a lot of regulation these days, it may be that one is burning at a hotter temperature than another. It may be that one of the liquid nicotine vials that you have is more concentrated with other toxins or something like that. So we need to continue to do these studies and to try to figure out exactly how much toxin there is, but we also need to see what the effects are over time. And then, of course, with regard to this study, we need to think about what the unintended consequences are of having these things go on unregulated.
How are e-cigarettes regulated? And should e-cigarettes be regulated like traditional cigarettes?
So the answer to your first question is that they are almost not regulated at all. There are huge policy differences, policy holes with regard to e-cigarettes versus regular cigarettes.
Why is that? How could there be these kind of holes in a policy?
Well, because at this point, there was a major law passed not long ago that regulated traditional cigarettes by the Food and Drug Administration. So they very carefully look at things like making sure there are no youth-oriented flavors, making sure that they're not marketed in inappropriate ways, making sure that there is less youth access, that type of thing. However, in all of those documents, e-cigarettes and other forms of alternative tobacco and nicotine products like hookah smoking are not included. They're not in the original language. So just last year, the FDA put out a statement saying, you know what, we think we might need to extend some of this that we're currently doing with cigarettes to these alternative forms. But they need to think very carefully about exactly how they're going to do it and exactly what they're going to do. So that's why, at this point, they don't really regulate them in that same way.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Our guest, Dr. Brian Primack, Associate Professor of Medicine and Pediatrics and the Director of the Program for Research on Media and Health at the University of Pittsburgh. And this year, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reporting e-cigarette use tripling among middle and high school students in 1 year. Why are e-cigarettes more attractive to young people than traditional cigarettes?
Well, for one thing, the flavorings are probably an impetus. Regular cigarettes are, as I mentioned, not allowed to come in youth-oriented flavors like cherry and chocolate. But you can have e-cigarettes in these various flavors, and we know that flavorings and that type of thing are attractive to youth. Additionally, they are easier to use. They're more palatable. They don't give you the same kind of harsh reaction, the heat, the intensity of a cigarette. So that is another reason that they might be somewhat more popular in this way. And then another reason is they come in these cool technological implements that you can plug into the USB port on your computer to charge them. And that is something else that a lot of young people say is interesting to them.
And is part of the popularity here, is it that the kids think, well, this isn't hurting me at all? Is that part of it too?
Absolutely. People definitely think that they are much less harmful and definitely minimize the potential risk of being exposed to nicotine at all. And not just because of, not having as much information out there about the health aspects, but also because there are those policy holes. In other words, you go out, you see all of these signs that say no cigarette smoking here, but then you see people who are smoking e-cigarettes, and, especially a younger person very well might think to themselves,
they think, I'm not smoking.
That's right. This must be okay.
How can people read your study?
So it is online now, and it is free from the journal JAMA Pediatrics.
And where can people find more information about e-cigarettes? After hearing this, I'm sure there are some folks who might be saying, I better look into this a little further.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of information of e-cigarettes available from many different organizations like the Centers for Disease Control and the American Cancer Society. They can also contact our research center. Our website is crmth.pitt.edu, and that stands for the Center for Research on Media Technology and Health, .pitt.edu.
Dr. Brian Primack is Associate Professor of Medicine and Pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh. Dr. Primack, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Great. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Paul.
Coming up, the Hulk is in the Steel City. Lou Ferrigno, who starred as the Hulk on TV, joins us in studio next. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.